The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
Now, World Athletics has said it's going to introduce mandatory testing for anybody entering female competitions to verify their biological sex. In doing so, they've insisted that it is necessary to protect women's sport. President of World Athletics, Sebastian Coe, has been explaining what the process will be.
The process is very straightforward, frankly, very clear, and it's an important one. And we need to look, we will look for a testing provider. We will work on the timelines. And the test will only need to be done once in the, literally, the career life of an athlete. So we are very clear. And that was agreed today in council.
That was Sebastian Coe, President of World Athletics. Former Olympian Sharon Davies is with me now. Sharon, great to talk to you as always. What's your reaction to this new position?
I'm really pleased to see it. Obviously, I've been campaigning to protect the women's category now for nearly 10 years, you know, and the reason why we have men and women's sport is because we're biologically different and we should not be trying to shoehorn males into sport that's there for females. And females get just such a small slice of the cake. You know, in the world of sport, women get 4% of the sponsorship sports dollar. So we have this tiny, tiny piece of the cake. And then we've been told we're not even allowed to have fair sport anymore. So I'm really pleased that Seb's done this.
I mean, do you think there should be a retrospective element to it as well to deal with cases that have happened heretofore where somebody's, you know, transitioned or claimed to be a different gender?
Great question. I would love to see it for those girls, particularly the Rio 800, which didn't see a single female on the podium. So it's a tough one, isn't it? Because that's what the rules were at the time, though, you know. So how we actually would go back on that, I don't know. It's not like the East German situation where, you know, when I was competing, it was against the rules to be taking drugs. And although they were, we weren't catching them. This was the rules at the time. So even though Cassius Semenya shouldn't really have been in there and she won't be in there going forward, she wouldn't qualify. I don't know how easy it is to change that, but it would be good to recognise that there were three young ladies that should have been on that podium that weren't.
So this is, it's kind of the cheek swab, dry blood spot test, I think is how it's been described, that they're going to be introducing. Again, you could talk about anti-doping and you know, what we've learned with regard to anti-doping is it becomes an arms race. There's always people trying to get around it. Can people get around this? You'll have to forgive my utter ignorance on the science now on this front.
No. I think it's good because it's what everyone's asking at home. It's much more difficult to get around this. You know, the answer to it is basically no. We had sex screening for a very long time. It was brought in the 1960s, 68 to 1999. When the IOC pulled their athletes in Atlanta at the Olympic Games in 96, 82% said they wanted the sex screening to carry on. And yet by the year 2000, by the Sydney Olympics, the IOC had pulled it. So that tells you that the female athletes want their category protected. What they are doing is obviously checking for the SRY gene, which is basically the switch that turns on male development. So it's very specific. And, you know, all it's going to do is remove people that are biologically male that have male physical advantage from women's category.
So this is the classic case of somebody who's all the benefits of having gone through puberty as a male and kind of the physical attributes that they accrue therein, that they can no longer use them to, you know, beat biological women.
It's more than that. So it basically removes anyone that's biologically male. So, you know, we've had previous rules where they've had all sorts of testosterone levels, none of which based in any science whatsoever. Then we brought some rules to say if you hadn't gone through male puberty. But actually, a male skeleton is very different from a female skeleton. You know, we have what's called a Q angle, which is the angle from your hips to your knees. And that is, it's much broader in a woman because a woman has wider hips. Therefore, it creates more knee injury. And a male can get more cadence and more power through his legs because of the fact that there's less of an angle.
Okay. So if somebody were to kind of take puberty blockers or transition before puberty, and again, we're kind of getting into a whole other debate there about whether that should even be happening, but let's imagine it does for a moment, this would still disqualify them from competing in the female category.
Absolutely. What it does, it takes males out of the female category. So no one has ever said that males can't compete. They just need to compete with other males.
Should there be an open category or a trans category?
No, I think what we should do is we should maybe call the men's category open. I think there's an argument for that. But I think creating a third category which awards mediocre athletes is not the answer. You know, that's the whole point of a non-binary category. It's an absolute waste of time, you know, and what happens in a non-binary category is males just win it. So it's really just an award for males that aren't as good as the males that are in the males race. I mean, it's silly. So I think we still have to stick basically to biological sex, but you could potentially call the male category open. We have a lot of open championships already. You know, you look at the golf, you look at all sorts of things, they're actually called opens, and women could compete. Unfortunately, they're just not able to compete at that sort of level. So, you know, but I don't really see why you can't identify and call yourself whatever you want. And what's really interesting is we found in the women's category that we often had a lot of trans-identifying females. So they identify as trans men. Even in Paris, we had trans men competing in the women's category. We had non-binary identifying females in the female category. So these people don't go and race with the men. They still choose to race with the women because that's where it's competitive. And none of the women have a problem with what they call themselves or what they wear. So I think, you know, that should be the case really in the men's category as well. You call yourself whatever you like, wear whatever you like, but you just race fair based on the biological reality of the sex that you are.
Yeah, so somebody born as a woman and identified as a woman, and listen, I'm sure some of the kind of terminology I'll use will insult somebody sufficiently, they'll text in. But anyway, they grow up as a woman, they decide, no, listen, I'm actually a man, and they transition. The women have no problem with them continuing to compete in the women's category.
Yeah,
they can call themselves whatever they want, wear whatever they want, use whatever pronouns they want.
Providing they're not on testosterone, okay, because that's legal. Yeah. And so WADA would chuck you out and give you a 4-year, 8-year ban if that was the case. So, you know, you can't have been ever been on testosterone because otherwise that's unfair. But if you just identify as the opposite sex, then, you know, women don't have an issue with it at all.
So this is World Athletics. You do get a sense, though, that after a period of time where nobody really knew what they were doing and people were terrified about being accused of being exclusionary or not being an egalitarian, a consensus does seem to be emerging amongst governing bodies about this. Would you say so?
Yeah, except for it's taken 10 years, you know, and that's what's so really wrong with this. You know, women's sport was thrown out in 2015 when the IOC changed the rules to say that anyone that identified could be in the women's category. So overnight, women's sport was relegated to second class, that we didn't have the right to fair and safe sport anymore. And this never affected men, it only affected females, because obviously there's a male biological advantage. And it's taken 10 years for us to claw back to a place where we're now to have a category which is now just for females. And that should never have happened, because it was against every piece of scientific, you know, science that we had. There's not a single piece of scientific peer-reviewed science in the world that has ever said that you can remove male biological advantage. And yet we were just told that we were no longer entitled to that fair sport. So it makes me really cross that after all these years of trying to get equality, that, you know, women's sport was relegated so quickly.
Sharon Davies, former Olympian. Sharon, thanks a million for speaking to us.
You're welcome.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.